Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Into the zone it goes. And shot by the Blue Jackets, back in now. A shot scores! Cam Atkinson got a loose puck up on the right wing and broke in alone and beats Anderson. It's 1-0.
Aye. Game one to the Jackets. Cam Atkinson potted the game's only goal. Actually, there was an empty netter as well. Jonas Korpisalo notched a 28 save shutout. Columbus blanked Toronto 2-0 to grab the 1-0 series lead. It's time to break it all down. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Plenty ahead over the next hour. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe. Potentially, we'll hear from some of the players involved in this game. And don't forget, we'll start to tee up right away game two, which is slated for Tuesday afternoon here in the Maple Leafs down 1-0 in this series. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Josh Santos, and Andrew Holland for their hard work behind the scenes as well. But Gord, it's so unfortunate when you look at this hockey game because, again, I thought the Maple Leafs played fine. They played a successful style, but it was a bit of a stinker. Not even a bit of a stinker. It was a stinker that ultimately cost them this game.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, there's I'm tired of making excuses, you know?
I know. It was a bad goal. It was a bad goal, Gord.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty good shot, but it is a pretty good shot, but it's not. It kind of caught everybody by surprise. Cam Atkinson's another guy coming back from injury. We talked so much about, you know, Seth Jones, Oliver Bjorkstrand, and Cam Atkinson were three players injured in Columbus at the time of the pause. Great saves, though, by Freddie Anderson. Great saves by Jonas Korpisalo. It was weird because the second intermission, Nick, you and I both felt the Leafs had, you know, kind of taken the flow a bit at the end of the second period, getting to their style of the game. And then that first shift was a monster shift in the third period. Geez, Muzzin had a shot that just could have been tipped in for a rebound, a couple more scoring chances. And on that play where they almost scored, all of a sudden Cam Atkinson just looking kind of innocent. That innocent-looking shot goes in, and that's the only real goal. There's an empty netter, as you mentioned. And and at that point, you know, it really became more of a Columbus game again at that point. It was like it was 1-0, but it seemed like it was 5-0. Don't get me wrong. The Leafs didn't quit or anything like that, but it just seemed the Columbus style really took over from that after that first minute.
The Maple Leafs, by the way, Gord, did not have a shot on goal in the last 6-12 of this hockey game. To me, I know people are riding already and saying, oh, here we go again. Folks, relax a bit. It's a five-game series. It's a five-game series for a reason. Columbus is a really good hockey team. They had the same amount of points as the Maple Leafs, 81 in the regular season. You know, it's a game of adjustments, and that's something I'm looking forward to seeing, too, in game two of this series. So while it wasn't the script the Maple Leafs wanted in this game, Gorda, I'm curious to see sort of the adjustments by Sheldon Keefe going forward in this series.
Yeah, I mean, things that jumped out at me, he didn't play four lines, but I really didn't fault that because the game dictated trying to get some offense going, trying to get some goals. Mitch Marner's the one guy who has
he
to
play
pick
tonight.
It up.
He played tonight.
And he's been a guy, you know, as we've talked about Austin Matthews having his differences the last couple of years with Mike Babcock in the playoffs. Mitch Marner's been a pretty solid playoff guy, and tonight just it wasn't there. It wasn't there. And, you know, good on the Columbus Blue Jackets for playing their style of hockey. But I thought the Leafs better and better were getting some chances. Boy, Nick Robertson could have opened the scoring in his first shift ever in a playoff game. So, I mean, to go back to what you said at the start, and I do look forward to hearing from Sheldon Keefe, but I can't see him, you know, going and doing a ton of things. I mean, putting Pierre Engvall in is not going to be the be-all and end-all that way. It's interesting how much I wonder if Mike Babcock's looking and saying, see, you know, you play that kind of ice time and it doesn't necessarily work out, you know, either. But Austin Matthews, 24 minutes, 38 seconds. And, I thought he wasn't a monster because the Leafs didn't score a goal, but he was a real presence. He really was into the game. He was in the two-way part of the game, a little physicality, you know, for a guy who was a Lady Byng Trophy nominee. And I thought he had a real solid game. I mean, there's a lot of positives to keep in perspective after this game number one disappointing loss.
Yes, so if you're just tuning in again, the Maple Leafs falling 2-0 here in game one of their Stanley Cup qualifying series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Scored to me, and you and I watch a lot of out-of-market hockey. Was that not a textbook game by the Columbus Blue Jackets? Like the exact, if they were to write a book about it, if John Tortorella would have said early on, hey, this is a style I want to play, it's probably that game, is it not?
That's a perfect game. It's the first ever shutout in playoff history for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Not that they've had a ton of
what a debut games. For Korpisalo. That was his first game, Gord, in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was. And, and hey, you know, good on him how he played, and maybe he'll play that way the rest of the playoffs. If Freddie Anderson or Korpisalo play that way, they both played in this game, then that bodes well for either team. The goaltending was excellent on both sides. And again, it's just that one that escaped Freddie. But there were some phenomenal point blank saves going both ways.
Honestly, it was just really disappointing from that point of view that we had a nice goalie duel going. And to me, as you mentioned, to start the third period, the Leafs were starting to buzz, Gord. They were really, really close. Again, you got to tip your cap. I thought Jonas Korpisalo was very, very solid. We talked about it in the second intermission that when you go against a system like Columbus, you tend to overpass. And at times, Gord, it seemed like Toronto was trying to pass the puck in the net. Did it not? I think, you know, that'll be a big difference for me. I think when you look at this team in the second game of the series on Tuesday afternoon, I think you're going to see more shots directed at goal, regardless if they get blocked or not. Columbus is really good at that too.
Well, Austin Matthews, am I reading it correctly? 8 shots on goal? 8 or 6? Anyway, my eyes, but I 8 shots on goal.
You have great eyes. Cat-like eyes.
Mitch Marner, none. So, you know, that's exactly it. They got to keep that influx going. It just seemed that, you know, Austin Matthews was the one guy. And again, good on Columbus being able to block the lanes and that. But they're going to have to figure a way just to get more at it, because that's the Leafs' style of play. That's when the Leafs were the most effective, when they were creating chances, moving the puck around, and but not getting enough at Korpisalo. And again, When a goaltender's on, that's a tough thing. But when a goaltender's on as well, you can just try to come up with more and more shots and more scoring chances. I mean, that wasn't enough for the Pittsburgh Penguins either last night against Carey Price. But getting shut out, man, I just didn't think the Leafs would.
It's classic Maple
Leafs
scored.
if you would have said it's a 2-0 game, who do you think won it? I would say Columbus. If you would have said that before the game. And if it was a 6-3 game and you said who do you think won it, I would have said Toronto.
Gord, by the way, we're going to call this the artificial walk to the subway, because there's no crowd to actually walk to the subway. And lucky for us tonight, because the Maple Leafs lose this game 2-0 the final here. But again, I know there are individuals out there right now, whether you're listening online, you're driving right now, disappointed, saddened. I get it. Don't get that way until the Leafs have lost twice in this series. But I get it. I mean, the sky is always falling every time there's a loss. But I have to caution, it's a long series. It's a shorter series than most series, of course. But again, there is some caution here. But bottom line, Gord, they got to find a way to do the Maple Leafs to win 3 of 4 now, which is really difficult against any team, never mind the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and you said, what do you think Sheldon Keefe will come up with in Game 2? And I'm more like, what kind of Toronto Maple Leaf team will be there? What a strange time, 4 o'clock on Tuesday.
Which matinee is, affair, you know, baby.
Yeah, but even like a later matinee. But anyway, it is a matinee affair. And and then if you're down 2-0, I mean, there was some stat that they have not done best 3 out of 5s for a long time in the NHL. Yeah. But if you were down 2-0, it's something like 73 out of 75 times the team that's up 2-0 wins it. I mean, ironically, last year the Leafs would have beat Boston best 3 out of 5, wouldn't they? So so you never know what like I said, you look ahead to Tuesday. John Tortorella's got to be ecstatic how his team played. So, sometimes the Maple Leafs, you look at it and you go, hey, you know what? We didn't play our best game, and we really lost 1-0. I mean, 2-0, but we really lost 1-0. So in some ways you can use that as a positive and just say, if we play a little bit better, we'll start getting some goals. And there's no way, or it's doubtful, a goaltender could be as flawless as Korpisalo was tonight on many more occasions like that. So that's the way you got to go at it.
By the way, the man I was showcasing on my playoff primers, Kevin Fiala, has the opening goal here for Minnesota. It's 1-0, 4 minutes into their game one matchup with the Vancouver Canucks. We'll monitor that going forward. Again, awaiting to hear from Sheldon Keefe. And we're hoping to link up with Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada, It's a fluid situation, of course, with everything happening right now, and you know how they're handling the media now differently at the arena. So stand by for that. But I think in general, Gord, we would both preclude that this is more a Columbus brand of hockey. I think the Maple Leafs have to find, you know, easier said than done. Don't get me wrong, have to find a way to open things up a bit. And we did, when we did see moments of that, it favors Toronto, because I think it's all about the speed. And I think what really came to light in this game was how physical Columbus can be, and more so their forecheck, I thought, was really tenacious tonight, Gord.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's just a great Columbus effort. I can remember, I think the second period started, and then John Tavares taking the puck in the Columbus zone, and it was like a 1-on-5, right? All the Columbus players were back there. Now the Leafs were changing, I think, as well, but just showing that they're all back there and have that defensive responsibility. I mean, what you try to do as well is you do try to get the extra D in the play. Like, Columbus does that quite well, Seth Jones and Zach Werenski getting in the play. And in Toronto's side, you know, Morgan Rielly or someone else, and, you know, Tyson Barrie, and they were pretty good at doing that, but it also was dangerous because Columbus really quickly starts to go the other way. But, you know, if you're trying to be a bit of a difference maker and create things and try to make things more happen offensively, that could be the fourth guy coming late or some other variable like that to figure out that what tonight was a pretty impenetrable Columbus Blue Jacket D.
You know, one thing I would be interested in seeing and curious if they do it is shuffling the lines and maybe inserting some youthful enthusiasm in Nick Robertson in the top six. Do you think they visit that?
Boy, I wouldn't do that right now. I wouldn't
not
do that
yet,
right now.
But I mean, if game two starts the same way and you're not generating, Gord, you got to figure it out quickly, do you not?
Yeah, game two, he'll have to look at it that way. And again, a little thing, as much as I like the extra ice time Austin Matthews in particular got, you know, John Tortorella used his fourth line just under 10 minutes. Spezza and company didn't play 4 minutes. So you did see in the third period, guys were a little bit tired on the Toronto side. You know, when you've got also, Nick, there were hardly any whistles. I don't know how much that had to do with the crowd or whatever. That was a very fast game, very few whistles. So I think at the end, you got pretty fatigued. And also, you really hadn't played a real NHL game. All you've played is one exhibition game. You really haven't played a real NHL game in almost 5 months.
Yep, and bottom line, I think Leafs fans in general, just stay off Twitter tonight, because there's a lot of trolling happening, and I, who is probably the king of trolling, knows all about that. But a tough first one for the Maple Leafs. They fall 2-0 here to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Just getting started to break down the fallout here of game one and this loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Again, Jonas Korpisalo, a 28 save shutout, excuse me. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe, hopefully. Potentially Chris Johnson. We'll try to hear from some of the players as well as we roll on here. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along on Twitter. And you're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. All right, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. It is Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. A 2-0 shutout loss here in game one against the Columbus Blue Jackets for your Maple Leafs. A 28-save shutout for Jonas Korpisalo, who, by the way, was making his playoff debut. Just a dazzling performance. And I know there is no excuse in the world to describe this and break it down from a Maple Leafs perspective, because, again, you look at this roster, what they've constructed, it's time to win. But Columbus played their game to a T, did they not, Gord Stellick?
Yeah, it's. I think of the late Dennis Green, the NFL coach. Remember, he said, "Was it the Bears were who we thought they'd be?" Right.
Yeah.
Remember, and he starts railing on a post-game press conference. I don't think Sheldon Keefe will quite follow that, but
yeah,
that's just it. Like, well, you know, it's kind of quick, and you get to the point. You know, there's really not a lot of things to drag out and overanalyze. We're talking about you look back, there were just some glorious scoring chances both ways. We revisit Nick Robertson, great first shift, and all in all, solid play, but he could have scored. He had a great chance on his first shift ever in an NHL game, which was an NHL playoff game. And, you know, with the Leafs, there were some loosey-goosey parts and as far as the D went at times, and it's a D that the like the Boone Jenners of the world and the Foligno's of the world go hard on. I mean, they hit, and they try to make you cough up the puck and all that. And but I don't think there were any gaps that way. I thought, Yeah, I thought everyone was pretty solid. But then saying that, you still didn't score any goals, and you lost the game.
Well, in terms of special teams, Gordon, we talked about that going into this series. Just three power plays, two power plays for Columbus. You could probably take a guess who took both penalties for the Maple Leafs. Cody Ceci, I think, had his issues defensively again in this game. It's susceptible to penalties. I mean, with foot speed, it happened in this game. Toronto got a power play, nothing was going for Toronto offensively. And again, the lone goal that was actually scored on a netminder, it was weak, it was soft, and it was disappointing again because Freddie Anderson, I thought, aside from that, was really, really solid in this game. Landed him a third star, 33 saves. Cam Atkinson, 1-1, second star, and Jonas Korpisalo, the 28 save shutout, gets the first star in this hockey game. It's time for our performer of the game, brought to you by Dairy Farmers of Ontario and the high quality milk that's where, when you're working out, eating and up, powering up, or kicking back. What can't milk do?
Into the zone it goes. And shot by the Blue Jackets, back in now. A shot, doors! Cam Atkinson got a loose puck up on the right wing and broke in alone and beats Anderson. It's 1-0.
That is our performer of the game, brought to you by Dairy Farmers of Ontario and high-quality Ontario milk. It is very difficult when the Maple Leafs do not score a goal to A, find a clip, and be awarded to somebody not on the Maple Leafs. So it was easier that way. Cam Atkinson, I thought, was really good in this game, 1-1. And we both agree, Gord, the best Maple Leaf in this game, probably Austin Matthews, right?
Yeah, Austin. Well, again, he didn't get a goal, but yes,
yeah.
he's the best Leaf. Usually when Austin Matthews is the best Leaf, when you're talking about a guy that was one goal shy of the Rocket Richard Trophy that would have scored 50 this year, he usually has a goal or two. Freddie Anderson still played really solid.
Yeah.
And on the Columbus side, I mean, you look at it, it's over 26 minutes of ice time for Seth Jones, over 25 minutes for Zach Werenski. So, I mean, it's like the best player. Well, some of the best players were the best players tonight. They're two stud D, and then Austin Matthews. And again, you know, Freddie from one that I'm not going to call it a soft goal because it was a pretty good shot, but it was just kind of a unfortunate, surprising goal given the nature of the goaltending and the closeness.
It's got to be stopped, Gord. I'm sorry.
but Cam Atkinson, again, one of those quieter ones coming back from injuries. So that's the key for every team, whether it's Tarasenko in St. Louis, Jake Guentzel in Pittsburgh, and, you know, so on and so on. And for the Maple Leafs, they really, I mean, Ilya Mikheyev is the one guy they get back, and I think getting a healthy Morgan Rielly, I've just liked the way he's played that exhibition game and the way he played tonight. And obviously, you know, he's the guy that was pretty well laboring with something all season, but no team is blessed more than Columbus in getting some guys who were right out of it during the pause back completely healthy. And Cam Atkinson's been a Leaf killer, too. He's been a lot of killer. He's been a surprising, annoying little guy that can really score.
Well, it's because everybody sleeps on Columbus. They slept on Columbus coming into this series. They were slept on last year against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They love that role of sleeper. And, again, it works to perfection in this game, a 2-0 win. Nick Elberga and Gord Stellick breaking it up. Breaking it down here in game one between the Maple Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Again, we'll hear from Sheldon Keefe. We'll try to go inside the locker room and hear from some of the players as well. And of course, Chris Johnston still upcoming, but the Maple Leafs offense not igniting in this game. Gord, if you were to tell me coming into this one, I knew Columbus would play very tight-lipped, but for Toronto not to score a goal in the first game in 145 days, I would have been shocked. But then I did look back, and Gord, it was that terrible road trip, which had you and I both pulling our hair out, that 1-0 shootout loss to L.A. Remember that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we both have good heads of hair. But
yeah,
it's again, you know, we go back to the pause and you know, you wonder what you count or don't count because it's so many months later. And they had a nice win over the Tampa Bay Lightning and just when the pause happened the night before. One reason it was needed is what you talk about. We'd stay up late. We watched that three-game, very disappointing road trip in California. And the story of the Toronto Maple Leafs all season long had been, can they ever just get going? Can they ever really get going? Like, you know, when they had to fire Mike Babcock, they dug themselves out of a big, big hole. Now, the way things turned out, they would have been one of the 24 teams. Who knew the playoffs would have been expanded? But they had a good chance of getting in as one of the 16, and that was a deep hole they dug themselves out of. But then they had a terrible effort, you know, one night against Chicago, one night against Florida, like whatever it may be. And that California trip, to your point, The best thing that had come into play was Jack Campbell solving their backup goaltending situation. But they, again, had played uninspired hockey just when you expected them to play inspired hockey.
Gord, I believe we're now going to the Zoom podium for the first time, I think, in our illustrious careers covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. We hear now from Austin Matthews, and after that, I guess in the same podium, it's Morgan Riley.
For both you guys, what happened to you offensively tonight? What do you have to do in game two?
I don't know. I think we got to look at it. I think that there were chances that we generated, obviously not capitalizing on any, but I think that there are good things that we have to look at and, you know, areas that we have to improve on, and we'll do that tomorrow practice.
Steve Simmons, Toronto Sun for Austin. It's one thing to hear about how tight they play and to even watch the films of how tight they play. What was it like to experience it?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's unfortunate that I'm getting a question from you at this point, Steve, but I just wanted to say I didn't really appreciate the article you wrote about me a couple months ago. I thought, you know, it was a bit unethical, to be honest, but moving along, I thought, you know, they obviously play a really structured defense, and they make it hard on you to get on the inside, and I think we just got to do a better job of maybe shooting more pucks and have guys coming down on it.
Austin, a question from Chris Johnson, Sportsnet. I'm just wondering, was there anything that surprised you that they did, or was it kind of what you guys were expecting?
I don't think anything really surprised us. I think, you know, they play a pretty straightforward game, and you know what you're going to expect every night. They're gonna compete. They're going to play physical. I thought we did some good things. There's some things that we can obviously clean up, but, you know, obviously we've got to create more offense, get guys more on the inside, and capitalize on some opportunities and get some good saves as well.
It's Jonas Siegel, The Athletic. Austin, what's it like to face somebody as big and who can move like Seth Jones shift after shift?
Yeah, they're good players. You know, they're good on both sides of the puck, so you got to be aware when they're out there, and obviously try to be strong down low, physical on the offensive side as well as the defensive side.
Bruce Arthur, Toronto Star. This one's for Morgan. You guys all season tried to figure out how to play these games. I know this was something that Sheldon talked about, how to stay patient in these games, these low event games. Is there anything coming out of this game that you've learned about playing Columbus and that you can apply going forward?
Yeah, I think that there will be. I think that's the type of game that we expected. I mean, we talked about it all year long. We talked about it prior to this series. So I'd expect more of these games moving forward, and I would also expect for us to be able to handle them better. And I mean, that being said, I think that we were prepared, and I mean, it went back and forth a little bit, so I don't think it's clear cut one way or another, but I think moving forward, we have to be more prepared for it.
Love it. A dual podium there via Zoom, Austin Matthews and Morgan Riley. And let's talk about being unethical. No, we're not going to, but Austin Matthews, not pleased clearly, but the Maple Leafs falling here 2-0. Gord, your thoughts on what was said there?
Yeah, and first of all, just to be clear, and it's Austin, and it's good people say things publicly. So he just wasn't happy about an article Steve Simmons wrote. I'm sure it's about him being testing positive for COVID way back when, which later Austin Matthews came out and confirmed. So, but then he said, and moving along, and went to it, and really, these are two of the leaders. This is the leadership group for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they're just saying we got to work at it in practice, and we got to come out next time. They're not making any excuses, and let's see what they can do on the ice. They'll get a practice tomorrow, and then Tuesday at the weird time of 4 p.m., the puck will drop for game number two.
Yep, they got to regroup, do the Maple Leafs, no doubt in this one, as we bring in Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. What did you think of this one, this 2-0 loss tonight against Columbus in game one?
Well, exactly what the Blue Jackets would want to do in the game. You know, certainly to play it as tight as it was, you know, the longer that went on, I think played into their favor. You know, I thought it was a close game that really could have went either way. And you know, Anderson misread that one shot, and the Leafs weren't able to break through. But it's kind of a lot of what we expected, and entering the series just with such a obvious style mismatch between the way these two teams play things out. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, maybe what changes the Leafs make or what adjustments they make, because, you know, clearly this didn't play into, you know, the way that they would want to go. Didn't accentuate the areas where maybe they have an edge in terms of the way their rosters are constructed.
Yeah, and but then, you know, you think about it for game number two. First of all, I loved the amount of ice time Austin Matthews got because I was among those complaining he wasn't getting it in other playoffs. But when you don't play your fourth line, then you – and particularly the game was so fast. Like, you must have got pretty exhausted out there. And really, aside from Austin, like, nobody else could really get chances. You know, Tavares, Nylander, not so much. And, boy, Mitch Marner, really, no shots on goal. That was not a great Mitch Marner game.
It was not. You know, I thought his line actually did, had a few moments early. You know, Mikheyev had a couple chances and you know, the Tavares line. But then, they didn't really generate much from there. You know, similarly, actually, the third line with Kerfoot and Robertson and Kapanen had, a pretty good first period, I thought. And you know, maybe got a little bit lost in the rotation with how much the other two lines were playing. Ahead of them because they weren't able to continue that. And, you know, let's face it, it's a very stout challenge against the Blue Jackets. They're the best team in the league at limiting rush chances against in the regular season. And we saw that tonight. I mean, that's an area where the Leafs get a lot of their goals is in transition, forcing turnovers and capitalizing on those mistakes. It didn't really have a lot of looks in that regard here. And you know, they weren't able to get the puck to the middle of the ice too often. I mean, ironically, one of the times they did, it was on the guy's stick you'd want if you were, drawing it up in Sheldon Keefe's office. And, Matthews was robbed by that great glove save by Korpisalo, got a standing ovation from his own bench there. But, I saw a lot of people hating on the game on Twitter. And maybe it's because I haven't watched too much of this in a while or because I was in the building and you get a different feel for it. But I was pleasantly surprised at the intensity in the game, how tight that was. I mean, that felt like the playoffs to me. And I know we all love 6-5 hockey at times, but let's face it, this is the kind of game that you got to win usually to go on, or you have to be able to play this type of hockey rather to have a long playoff run. And I actually thought the Leafs as a whole acquitted themselves quite well, but it's obviously an empty feeling in a very short series to go home down 1-0 now.
Yeah, I echo your sentiments and minimal time and space, but I honestly felt like it was a masterpiece of a performance by Columbus. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap and move forward to game two. And with that, and we are conversing here with Chris Johnson, would you make any lineup changes for game two, CJ?
Maybe a little early for me to say. I mean, nothing jumps to mind. I haven't even had a chance to see a game sheet because we don't get them nowadays the COVID world. So, I have to look a little closer at the ice time breakdown and things like that. But, certainly you'd like to be in a position to play the fourth line more, but there's only so much ice time out there. And I think we all understand the logic behind playing Matthews as much as he did. It's a very tough matchup. I mean, Jones Werenski is a great pairing. Pierre-Luc Dubois probably doesn't get a ton of attention, but he's a great centerman for the Blue Jackets. And so, it's not going to be easy to break through against those guys. And I don't think the possession battle was in Matthews' favor tonight, but I thought individually he certainly had some strong moments and looked like he was capable of finding, an opening seam and obviously he doesn't need many looks to score goals at the rate he's done so far in his NHL career. So, it'll be interesting to see maybe if there's ways to, get him on the ice a little bit more. We haven't really seen Sheldon Keefe in his time as a Leafs coach. I mean, he's largely been content, to roll his bench. I don't mean that he just, one line after the other through 1-4, but he doesn't seem to be someone who chases specific matchups too much, but maybe in a playoff series that changes here and he can do some things to find 34 some time away from Werenski and Jones, because I think that goals are going to be few and far between, especially if there's this few power plays in these games. And pretty crazy to think. I've never covered a best of five in my life, so there's not much runway here, considering that the next game is less than 48 hours away on Tuesday afternoon.
Well, regardless of the result, it's so fun to be talking hockey with you once again, CJ. Thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
All right, boys. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. There's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada breaking down a 2-0 loss here for the Maple Leafs against Columbus in game one of their Stanley Cup qualifier series, Gord. But I think CJ nailed it. Quite frankly, I look at this game, I wasn't disgusted by the play of the Maple Leafs. Ultimately, what cost them was a weak goal, an unfortunate goal, because, again, Freddie Anderson was not an issue. I loved his rebound control in this game. I thought he was spot on, aside from the backbreaker. And it's unfortunate that was the only goal. You got to score goals. I don't care. That's the magic ingredient to win games in hockey is to score goals. So you lose as a team, win as a team. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, and that's why in, you know, Freddie's case, just a great game of goal. But you don't expect the one that you should have got to come back and bite you in the ass, okay? So that's the thing. Mm-hmm. When you don't score any, we mentioned it's the first ever shutout the Columbus Blue Jackets have had in their franchise history. And, hey, best 3 out of 5s. Goaltenders can make the difference in a 4 out of 7, but they really can in a 3 out of 5. And we certainly have seen that with Carey Price. We saw that today in Arizona as well. And in this case, if Jonas Korpisalo is going to give them that kind of goaltending, you're in tough. You're in tough if he's going to, regardless if you get your offense going or not. So I liked hearing from Riley and Matthews. They're not rookies anymore in the playoffs. They're anything but. They're rookies as a team, not having won a playoff series. They've won before in other places. So, you know, let's see. And maybe it's Morgan Riley coming late, getting more in the offense. You know, maybe it's a whole bunch of things like that. But again, you keep going back to tipping your cap, and you're right about it. You know, it's not like the Leafs weren't intense. It's not like they didn't compete. You can't say anything. There was no quit. There was no mental part about it. They were focused, and maybe maybe they can just be just as focused, and it just ends up channeling things in a more positive direction on Tuesday afternoon.
You're right. No moral victories. We need to see a response from the Maple Leafs coming up on Tuesday afternoon. Note the start time, 4 p.m. for that game. And of course, we'll have Leafs Nation postgame for that one. Already can't wait to see the response, if there is one, from this Maple Leafs team following this 2-0 loss here in game one against the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick on Twitter. Still to come, we hope to hear from Sheldon Keefe. We'll bounce around the league a bit, a couple other games in the Stanley Cup qualifying action on this Sunday. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
It is Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Here we go again. An opening loss for the Maple Leafs here in Stanley Cup qualifying action, 2-0. Against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Note that the Maple Leafs have home ice, if you will, in this series. They were the home squad tonight. They'll be the home squad coming up on Tuesday night before game 3 and 4, if necessary, I should say. Heads off to Columbus being the home side. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. But out of sight, out of mind, Gord, I think, has to be the ideology for the Maple Leafs. Get back to practice and get set for game 2 here.
Kind of weird. You're going to walk about 20 yards to your... collectively,
I know, it's change rooms
as a team, and they're walking, and there's an underground tunnel that you basically walk across to what's the Royal York. So that's really, you know, that's really what it comes down to. And I said, just as far as the Ford dealers' keys to victory, and just about the fact that, you know, unleash the hounds, and the hounds are those big guns, and they're big guns.
You don't mean Marincin?
No, Marty Marincin. No, we're going to leave everybody alone, but just, and they know it, you know, that's what they get the big money for. And that's what they've, you know, deservedly got it for. Gone, put some offense on some exciting ways. And you got to find a way now to transcend that and make it happen in the playoffs. Mariner's done that before, and Matthews to a limited degree as well. But they haven't matched their regular season success in the playoffs. And this is another opportunity.
Brought to you by my condo kitchen setup. Let's go back to the Zoom podium. Here's the head coach, Sheldon Keefe.
Lance Hormuth and Toronto Sun. Sheldon, how concerned were you about your offense tonight, or just a case of Columbus doing what it does best?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, obviously, they did what they do best and what we were prepared for. We knew it was going to be difficult. Now we're out on the ice and you feel it. So, I mean, obviously, we didn't get one to fall for us here today. I thought we did have some chances to get, obviously, more than what we got on the scoreboard, but it didn't fall in for us. It fell in for them, and that's the difference.
Steve Simmons, Toronto Sun. How difficult is it when you're putting Austin out there as much as possible, and they're matching with Jones as much as possible. And there you have, you know, two of really the great players in the NHL going up against each other.
Well, it's a tough matchup. I mean, you can't forget Werenski in that equation also, because, you know, he's a great player, and their forwards, I mean, they play as a group of five. So no matter who's on the ice, it's going to be hard. This is all stuff that we were prepared for coming in. As I said, now we're on the ice and you feel it. You know, we didn't generate as much as I wish we could have. At the same time, as I said, it's a very tight hockey game out there. One falls in for them early in the third period after we had what I thought was a pretty dominant start to the third, and thought we were going to be rolling pretty good. And then all of a sudden you're down, and it changes the nature of the game from there. But, you know, obviously we got to find a way to score.
Sheldon, Bruce Arthur, Toronto Star. This obviously was the team you expected, the game you expected. Is there anything about this game that makes you worry about the way your team matches up with Columbus going forward? Or could you see places where the Leafs can become can handle this matchup better, I guess?
Well, I think there's going to be ways, you know, we'll look closer at it, and we'll find ways that, you know, that we can capitalize a little bit more on some of our opportunities and generate a little bit more. I said, it's a very tight game. It's a good hockey team. I mean, you know, it's two tight teams, or two teams that were tight together in the standings, two teams that are very competitive. I thought we played a good enough game to win today, but obviously you can't win when you don't score. So we got to work with that. But there's a lot of things that we did do well in the game here today that gave us a chance going into third period to win the hockey game. We're going to have to regroup here, obviously, and push back and get one to go our way next time.
Hey, Sheldon, it's Chris Johnson from Sportsnet. I'm just wondering what your thoughts were on Freddie's performance. Made some big saves, but he wasn't happy with the goal that beat him.
Yeah, I thought he did make some big saves for sure. You know, there was a few times they got some really real quality looks. He was very good on those. And there was, you know, some perimeter chances down the wing and stuff like that he did a really good job of holding his ground on. Obviously, he misread the one in the third there that got by him, but, you know, he kept them to one goal. He, as far as I'm concerned, did his job. We've got to find a way to give him some help.
Hey, Sheldon, Justin Cuthbert, Yahoo Sports. It seemed Mitch Marner and John Tavares had trouble getting going tonight. What challenges did you see in front of them, and I guess what needs to happen for them to get going in the rest of the series?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought they had a pretty good first period, actually. They had some pretty good offensive zone shifts and around the net a little bit. They didn't get a chance to really build upon that. So we'll have to look at it a little bit closer. Obviously, that's another part of it, is they've got a tough matchup there too, right? I mean, Gavrikov and Savard are tough defenders, just the same as we've already talked about the other two. So that's a tough matchup for them. But we need to get a little bit more from them. But we need more from everybody, obviously. We didn't get anything from anyone today. He only generated one power play. So all those types of things, you know, make it harder than it needs to be. But we expected it to be hard. We expected it to be uncomfortable. To say, I thought this one today could have gone either way. It didn't go our way. So we got to regroup here and find a way to be better next time out.
Sheldon, just a couple of words, if you could, on your third and fourth lines. Start with Nick Robertson, what you thought of a teenager playing in his first game tonight, and then also your decision to really kind of limit the Gauthier line. I guess obviously looking for offense there.
Yeah, first I thought, I thought Robbie had some good moments in the game. In fact, he had a great look early in the hockey game. Just got the toe of the goaltender there, and obviously that was a big moment that could have put us in a real good spot. But it was good to see him get into that position to be available to get the shot. Otherwise, I thought he was good in a game that was difficult to play. That would be by far the hardest game he's ever played in, I would imagine. And he's going to have to continue to find his way through that. I thought that Kerfoot, Cappy, though, again, I thought those guys had legs and they were on the puck and they gave us some pretty good shifts as a line. As for our fourth line, I thought they had a real tough start to the game, some long sequences in our own zone, which is not what you want out of your fourth line. So it made it difficult to really find any sort of rhythm with them. And then, of course, once we're down early in the third period, it becomes even harder.
Those, of course, the sentiments of the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe, following this 2-0 shutout loss against the Columbus Blue Jackets in game one. What did you think of what Coach Keefe had to say, Gordo?
Pretty well what we expected, and making it clear that they're not surprised by this. They're prepared. They understand how Columbus plays. The Leafs just didn't execute quite how he hoped they would, or they would have. Interesting, the fourth line, I guess he very quickly, I thought they kind of got mixed up a little bit. You remember there was an icing and he put back the Matthews line and, you know, whatever. So I didn't think they got a clean start as if you wanted to go through the rotation twice, but he obviously read something very quickly that he just wasn't big on how the fourth line started. So they basically, that was about it.
It was, and the Maple Leafs look forward now to Tuesday afternoon, a 4 p.m. Eastern start time for Game 2, and try to even things up down 1-0 in this series after this 2-0 shutout loss to Columbus. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. We'll wrap things up after this here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
All right, time to wrap things up here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick breaking down this 2-0 game one loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Send us your thoughts on this one. They're probably not a good one. At the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick on Twitter. But Gord, we look forward to Tuesday afternoon and game number two of this series. But why don't we have a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, if you will, although a couple of the games are in town, as we know. Happening right now, of course, Minnesota and the Vancouver Canucks. Minnesota up 1-0 in that game after 20. The rest are finals. And how about Arizona back in the postseason, first time in a while? And former Maple Leaf Steve Sullivan, first game as GM, and he gets a win in a playoff game. 4-3 the final against Nashville.
Yeah, a nice one. They didn't look good in their exhibition game where Nashville did, so it just shows about coming forward when need be. So Steve Sullivan, a quality guy. And, that's the challenge for the Nashville Predators. I mean, this is a team that made trades to try to win the whole thing after being in the final the last couple of years. But, they got their work, just like the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Edmonton Oilers. Now the Toronto Maple Leafs have their work cut out for them.
Meantime, two round robin games, the Philadelphia Flyers disposing of the Boston Bruins 4-1. That was the first Eastern Conference round robin game in the Western Conference. Dramatics, to say the least. 0.1 remaining after Colorado tied the game in the third period and a goal from Ryan Graves, who was a plus 40, led the NHL in the regular season. It was who else on the power play but Nazem Kadri with 0.1 on the clock and a 2-1 come-from-behind win for Colorado against St. Louis. St. Louis scored. Should they start the parade in Denver?
I think they have a good chance of having the parade in Denver, but not based on this game. But
without a crowd, though.
Yeah, with good on Nazem Kadri, and it just shows, Kerfoot had the strong exhibition game, but Tyson Barrie and Alexander Kerfoot, I mean, this would be a great chance to get your season going with a strong playoff starting on Tuesday.
No doubt about that, Gordon. We'll look forward now till Tuesday afternoon. You hate to use cliches this time of year, and this time of year I mean playoff time, but the Leafs better not lose game two, I'll say that.
Well, they better not lose the third game, but yeah, yes. I think you're right
about
what
I mean, though.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, I go way back, Wendell Clark's rookie year, and that was the last year of the best 3 out of 5, and I was with the Leafs then, and we upset Chicago. Three games straight, and we got momentum there. Just a funny thing in game number one, and never gave it back. And that's what you have to watch out. You just get momentum, and you get three strong games. And last year, Columbus did that to Tampa Bay, and here, it was 4 out of 7 last year. Here, that's the same kind of thing. That's the one thing Leafs have to make sure, starting 4 p.m., that they don't allow the continuation of the Columbus style of hockey to dominate the play.
And again, I think when you look at Jonas Korpisalo, Gord, I'll be the first to admit, hey, hats off. You were excellent in your debut. But Gord, this is not Patrick Roy. It's not Marty Brodeur. There are ways to beat Jonas Korpisalo. And the longer the Leafs don't score a goal, the more confidence this guy gets in between the pipes. That's got to be the key for me here in game two, is get some traffic and make life a bit difficult for Korpisalo. I thought the Maple Leafs left him off the hook a bit in this game.
Yeah, there is always that Montreal version of Yaroslav Halak, which maybe is as good as I can remember. But and Chris Johnston mentioned, and you mentioned it, that, of course, social media, this game's getting pummeled quite a bit. And I don't see it as that kind of game at all. And that's where there's positives about social media, but also it's a place to rant and a place to vent. But that's not accurate about how the game and the effort went by the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
No doubt about that. So we look forward again to Tuesday afternoon, and on Tuesday night, Gord, we'll have Leafs Nation postgame for that one. Can't wait already. And I'm just very curious to see the response from this Maple Leafs team, because, again, we've been through this time and time again. I don't care who the opponent is. Used to be Boston. It was Washington a couple years back, but now the pressure is on. And it starts to mount a bit more here, considering, again, it's a five-game series in unprecedented, uncharted waters. But the Maple Leafs offense, they haven't been held quiet for multiple games in a while. So that's the one thing I look forward to, is igniting the offense it's at here.
Yeah. Well, even that Washington series, Leafs ended up being up 2-1 after three, and it went six. And the other two went 7 games. So the Leafs fought to the bitter end. They were disappointing losses. Here's a test now to make sure it doesn't end quickly and ugly.
Well, there you have it. Gord Stellick will be back on Tuesday night for Leafs Nation postgame. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Josh Santos, Andrew Holland, and Chris Johnson. The Maple Leafs falling 2-0 here in Game 1 against Columbus. We'll talk on Tuesday night. Take care.